continue the first session. I don't know if you want to stay here, but Oliver will come back at 10 o'clock to moderate a second session. This first session is titled Forms of Democracy, Activism, Art and Cultural Production. And the idea was to invite a group of people that would be, that have been dealing with some of these issues in their work. In terms of representing ideas of democracy, critiquing democracy, ideas of archiving democracy, approaching the concept from a kind of plurality of positions. By the forms of democracy, I wanted to suggest certain topics that I think will be addressed by some of the presentations. The first one is this idea of an individual or collective self-determination. And that self-determination as a form of empowerment. What does it mean when you assert yourself in a position to something, or not necessarily in a position to something, but you take a position, and from there you gain political power, or even just subjective power. The second one is this idea of the recognition of difference as a social or a political opportunity. So rather than rely on a notion of tolerance, actually assert a certain idea of difference as a place of opportunity, as a place to kind of promote an agenda that is open and heterogeneous. The other one is this idea of an alternative historiography. So having self-determined oneself and having asserted this idea of a kind of open space of difference, how can one begin to write one's own histories? And what does it mean? And I think Miguel's presentation will tackle directly to some of these issues. The other one is this idea of a critical education or a critical space of pedagogy to counteract oppressive forms of educational models, which I think Ukraine will be talking about. And lastly, this idea where does democracy exist? What is the physicality of democracy? What is an architecture of democracy? In physical and concrete terms, but also in an idea of a choreography or a visuality of democracy. How is also a kind of ideological architecture of democracy in relationship to the construction of a state, which I think that's something that Marianne is going to talk about. So having said that, I would like to introduce our first speaker, which is Jennifer Gonzalez. Jennifer is an associate professor in the history of art and visual culture at department at the University of Santa Cruz, California, Santa Cruz in California, in the United States. And her presentation is titled "Democracy: Does Democracy Have a Visual Culture?" And she will argue that visual culture of democracy might exist, and will inquire about its forms and developments using artistic and cultural projects as well as social movements as a point of reference. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for coming.
Thank you, Carlos. I'm just going to move this. Can everyone hear me? Is that good? Is that working? Yeah? Closer? How's that? Okay. I would like to thank the organizers for the invitation to be here and the taxpayers of Austria for supporting this cultural event. I would also like to apologize for arriving only last night and therefore missing some of the excellent discussions that have already taken place and that no doubt would have influenced my talk today. Let us begin with the assumption that we have never seen a democracy, that at the very best, we have had, at certain limited moments, a democratic thought, a feeling, an argument, or perhaps even a democratic intention. Why do I begin with this assumption? First, because I believe it is true that there have never existed democratic governments or even fully democratic organizations. The history of patriarchy, colonialism, racism, and homophobia have guaranteed this by the very condition of exclusions, repressions, and power imbalances. Second, I begin with this assumption because it poses an interesting problematic regarding vision. How is it possible to ask what democracy looks like, or even to claim that it looks like something, if it has not been seen? What is the importance of delineating its optical frame through either hegemonic or counter-hegemonic discourses involving sight? Hence my title, Does Democracy Have a Visual Culture? Of course, There have always been efforts at envisioning utopias. Artists and philosophers have participated in this project for millennia. Insofar as democracy has been one such subject of envisioning, many have sought to express the necessary conditions for its emergence or to bring visual form to its formlessness. Witness this unrealized vision of an exhibition that is only a graphical fiction. There's two versions. A utopian vision of an art exhibition of utopian visions. So what you're seeing, it's really very blurry. It's a very clean image. It shouldn't be blurry.
Continue, I'll try to fix it.
Well, it's a very clear image in my version of this. On the lower left, you can't read it, but it's actually the names of galleries such as the Tate in London and the Louvre and the Smithsonian Institution, all kinds of major national museums holding this exhibition, Democratic Utopias, 200 artists from 486 BC to 2012. So it's a poster advertising a possible exhibition. So I'm interested in this kind of faux visualization of a faux art exhibit in the context that we're in right now. I don't know who produced this yet, but I would like to find out soon. So if anybody knows who produced this, let me know. While I realize the importance of such visions, I am suffering slightly from what I call or could be called utopia fatigue, from a frustration with a focus on messianic histories and theories about a future that has to always be deferred. And I feel this in response to writings by many cultural theorists from Levinas and Agamben, even up to Montesquieu, that there's a kind of effort at the unknown future. So what I'm really interested in is how ideologies of democracy circulate visually and how they invite or actively produce forms of identification and participation, or alternately, disidentification and non-participation. Chantal Mouffe has earlier argued that identification with social or cultural issues can drive even the very poor to vote against their own economic interests. One must also consider the processes of disidentification that lead numerous ethnic minorities to see political elections as either useless or not their concern. This is over and above actual disenfranchisement through immigration laws and prison sentencing. To the degree that our understanding of democracy is shaped by its visual articulation, it is worth examining the familiar tropes of this articulation and looking at how alternatives are presented by both artists and activists. Numerous and formally repetitive examples can be found in any of the following categories. The few images I show here are relatively banal and are drawn primarily from the US, although an international comparison would be ideal and instructive. So to the degree, as I said, that we want to think about this as a tropology, each of these is just one instance of what I consider to be a kind of large-scale trope of envisioning democracy. So if I can have the next slide, please. It's actually a really terrible...
I can't do it. I think it's a projector, actually.
No, it's okay.
Okay. These are actually nice images, but not from this projector. Sorry. So democracy visualized as infrastructure and architecture. When we think about the way that visual culture shapes how people conceive of democracy, I think we frequently, particularly as visual artists, who aren't necessarily practicing architects, we don't think immediately about the physical built environment unless we're out in the street and we're protesting in the street and we have a relationship to the street. But what I'm interested here is the way that the trope of a democratic structure invites us to imagine a certain kind of human being in that structure. and only certain kinds of human activity in that structure. And that activity is sitting. In other words, that there's a way in which there's a requirement for a certain kind of understanding of democracy built into even the very architectures of democracy. And that this is actually a visual component of how we understand what a democratic process could be. Next slide. Another way in which there's a kind of promotion of democracy is with the notion of the vote. And there's a way in which the body, in the act of putting a piece of paper into a box, is enshrined in a corporeal gesture of democracy. So the vote can be read as a gestural relationship to power. The gesture is this very simple gesture. The reason why I selected these, just they were the ones I found that variety of people voting in different places, but particularly one on the right, was obviously a media hype image, a hyped up image of a US success, which we can debate, obviously, voting and democracy in 2004 in Afghanistan. Next slide, please. Democracy visualized as international policy. So a lot of times we don't really think that if there's a textual piece of information that it's a visualization. But I'm really very interested in the way these kinds of visualizations of democracy actually register institutional power for those who look at them, because they come across as authoritative. And so it's important to read the subtle signs also part of that authoritative framing of democracy here in the State Department website, where the flag of the United States effectively engulfs the globe. If you look at the way the flag of the United States hovers above and the globe is spread out below. Of course, I don't really need to read it to you, but the text in there is pretty much about how democracy is good for US hegemony. Next slide, please. Democracy envisioned as market index. So democracy here is really not of interest in and of itself, but rather as it might impact the market. So how do we begin to think about communications like The Economist that sees the world in terms of market viabilities and has this democracy index that it maintains? And what I want to point out is that when the democracy index goes down with the show of hands, if you read the show of hands as an index, once there's a fist, it's at the low point of the market. Next slide, please. Democracy visualized as paternalism. So this is, I think, a very common kind of a very popular American presentation of democracy. So you have this kind of white male paternalism with the semi-multicultural children under his gaze. And here, not only is it about white patriarchy, but it's also about the way certain kinds of bodies are acceptable and certain darknesses of skin are kind of acceptable in this particular trio of children that have been selected to admire Uncle Sam in the context of democracy. So this is just part of popular culture image making, and there are plenty of examples of that as well. Next slide, please. Democracy is homogeneous. This could be a book in itself. That is, when you look at early images of democratic processes, whether they're paintings of the US Senate or it's really about uniformity of the people who participate in the democracy. And it's about a white hegemony in the United States. But it's a discourse that's perpetuated, if you will, in just little tiny snippets of popular culture. For example, when an image of Greek democracy is shown as power to the people, it's three light-skinned males also who are pictured there. So there's a way in which democracy is here pictured as homogeneous, that we all agree, etc. And you can see with Mitt Romney, he has a very homogeneous group of supporters in this particular picture. Okay, onward. Democracy. Visualized as militarized or corrupted. Next slide, please. Democracy visualized as different. Keep going. Yeah, that's the other one. Next slide, please. So those, I would say, were sort of the hegemonic, then the last two slides, kind of counter-hegemonic images of democracy. This is a group called The Color of Change, and here there's a sense in which there needs to be a color change, literally, in democracy. And so there's a way in which democracy is presented as always already white, and therefore needing a color change. Next slide, please. This is a really interesting group that I recommend you check out called Art and Democracy. They have a project, next slide, please, in which they talk about this is what democracy looks like. So next slide, please. And so they represent democracy as group participation and as having many cultural participants. Next slide, please. So this is the familiar image of the democracy as direct action. This is in Wisconsin before Occupy. But the idea that there's a chant and a response, that this is what democracy looks like, is, I think, important. You can actually go to the next slide so we can turn it down. I want to talk about the last image really briefly. The protesters are using an indexical claim to point out that the contest over what democracy looks like is precisely what is at stake. A strategic move in activist terms, to be sure, and effective, but it also serves as a conceptual intervention in what might be called the visual matrix of politics. Politics must be seen, and that politics has had a certain look. By changing that look, the activists also hope to change our conception of politics. This is also ultimately what is at stake in many artists' productions about democracy. Artists like those who have convened the panels tonight are offering alternative visualizations of democracy. They frequently do so by putting the term itself into question, by changing the participants who are allowed to speak, and by raising awareness of embedded social problems. Carlos Motas, The Good Life, which you're seeing here, unfortunately, really briefly, examines the legacy of so-called democratic U.S. interventions in Central and South America. And this project, I think, is laudable precisely because it's different envisioning of people. It's not simply a hand or a gesture or a body in a group, but you actually get a fuller notion of what a democratic subject might be. Next slide, please. Oliver Ressler's 2009 7-part film, What is Democracy?, offers an international discourse on the complex problem of defining this contested concept. Next slide, please. Lasse Lau's Building Democracy Project puts filmmaking in the hands of immigrant communities to tell their own stories. Next slide, please. What I like about these three projects is the demonstration of ideological endlessness, that is, those three previous projects, which itself opens up democracy and requires that it cannot somehow be finalized or simplified. We are presented with different class subjects, and we are invited to consider their social position and their complex cultural histories. More broadly, we're asked to move beyond national concerns regarding democracy and to view its conception and abuse internationally. And just today, I discovered a local Austrian group, I think has already been presented here, working on a project called Repairing Democracy. What I find appealing about this project is its practical simplicity, explicit vote sharing with disenfranchised immigrant populations. To wrap up, Angela Davis has given us the brilliant phrase, next slide, abolition democracy, to define the activity of those who work toward a condition of real equality among all members of a population. The goal is to abolish the traces of colonialism and slavery that continue today in the form of immigration policies, illegal labor, and prisons, not only in the US, but globally. These artists might be seen to be working toward a kind of abolition democracy as much as an absolute democracy. And this is exactly what we need at this very moment. We could say the contested visual discourses of democracy exist to produce precisely that which remains stubbornly and imperfectly invisible, real democracy. Thank you.
Thank you, John.